So anyway, one day I fell into a swimming pool and I bashed my head. And when I woke up, I could speak fluent Chinese and play the trombone. Oh, sorry. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of The Jolly Heretic. I was just reading Aldrich Pryor, He's a Hopeless Liar, which is a character from the comic Viz. And I thought this was particularly relevant because I want to do a video today on Professor Jason Ardet, the professor of the sociology of education at Cambridge University. And as you may all know by now, Professor Ardet has been revealed to be a hopeless liar, to be a fraud, to be a fantasist. And I think worse than that, and more poignantly than that, to be a not very intelligent man who's a sort of a Walter Mitty and who has been used and taken advantage of by very intelligent extreme ideologues in a way that will profoundly damage him psychologically and possibly, lead to suicidal ideation and all kinds of horrible things. And I think that those people, those senior academics at Cambridge University that caused this to come about, should be deeply, deeply ashamed of themselves, and that they are responsible for the psychological breakdown in many ways of this fragile man. And they know that that's the case, and they know that's what they've done. And I want to look at why they've done this and how this appalling international humiliation of Cambridge University and of British academia has happened. Before I do that, could you do me a favor? Could you please, please, please subscribe? Could you subscribe on YouTube? Could you hit the like button and hit the bell button and leave a comment for the algorithm and all that stuff? Could you follow me on Twitter? That's at Jolly Heretic. And could you subscribe to my Substack? That's jollyheretic.com, where I put all the most base stuff I do up on YouTube, in-person interviews, vlogs, blogs, films I make. And if you like what I do, you could support me for the cost of about a pint of beer a month. Okay, back to the video. So Professor Jason Ardet, so this is a PhD bonnet. It will become relevant later in the discussion. Now, what has happened here? How have we got to a situation where an obvious fantasist that does extremely bad quality research, whose doctoral thesis literally has a punctuation mistake in the title, could possibly end up at the age of only 37 being made Professor of the Sociology of Education at Cambridge University, one of the country's most prestigious universities, before being found to be a plagiarist, a liar, a fraud, and that the Cambridge University should stick by him as well? How has this happened? What is going on? What does it actually reflect? Well, Sir Simon Baron Cohen, Professor of Psychology at Cambridge, who has been on the Jolly Heretic, kind of gives the game away, really, in the way in his response to the allegations against Jason Ardet. He supports him, and he tries to, sort of put people off the scent and whatever. But one of the things he says is, and yet he continues to, so he's been found not guilty of plagiarism with regard to his PhD. His PhD, by the way, clearly massively plagiarizes. 100 passages are plagiarized from a Brunel University PhD thesis. But it says, and he's been found not guilty after a rigorous investigation. This is obviously not true. And yet he continues to be systematically discredited over every detail of his life daily. We should, of course, always investigate plagiarism to protect academic standards. However, I can't, this is the interesting bit, I cannot stand by and watch when an autistic man is on the ground and the kicking continues. This is relentless bullying of a vulnerable autistic man and raises safeguarding issues. It's time to stop. Right. What does he actually mean by this? What is he actually saying? It seems to me that the liberal is in a kind of cognitive dissonance with regard to Jason Ardet, Cambridge's youngest ever black professor, who, let's face it, was obviously appointed because he was black. On the one hand, the liberal wants to assert that the research that indicates that there are in cognitive traits which lead to in outcomes and in socioeconomic status, that these differences are all to do with environment, or these differences are not true, these differences are not the case. They are a result of unfair testing, of culturally biased tests, of things like this. And in reality, and are all equally capable of high socioeconomic achievement, including the pinnacle of academic achievement, being a professor at a highly prestigious university such as Cambridge. If only the environment is right, if only they meet the right people, if only they have the right tutoring, and these wicked racists can be shown that they are wrong by somebody such as Jason Arday being made, apparently on merit, professor of the sociology of education at Cambridge University. The utopia can be reached. These are all equal. All are equal. They're all equal in cognitive traits. They're all equal in innate abilities. And it is environmental factors which hold them back. This is the truth. This is a fact. But on the other hand, there's a very interesting study called Self-Presentation in Interracial Settings, The Competence Downshift by White Liberals, which shows that conservatives will talk to black and white people in exactly the same way, whereas liberals will shift the way they talk to black people to simpler words, to simpler vocabulary. And it's obvious, therefore, deep down, why they would do that and what they really think. And the Jason Arday case confronts them it's with this kind of cognitive dissonance. On the one hand, Sir Simon Baron Cohen wants us to believe that Jason Arday is an extremely intelligent man with an IQ of, 130 or more, who has had this terrible background that is so brutal, where he's been diagnosed autistic at the age of 3, and he couldn't talk till he was 11, and he couldn't read till he was 18, or couldn't write till he was 18. And he's this brilliant man that's overcome adversity, as we all can, and he's got to the top of his profession, and it's amazing. But on the other hand, at the same time, he has to be patronized as, look at this poor man. Look at this poor man. Do not investigate his background. Do not investigate his claims. Do not investigate whether he's telling the truth or whether he's not telling the truth. This poor autistic little victim, leave him alone. Leave him alone. He's our baby. And he holds those two things, which are contradictory, at exactly the same time. And this leads to a very intelligent man. I'm sure Sir Simon Baron Cohen is a very intelligent man. It's an emotional and completely illogical reaction where he can't deal with what he's seeing, which is the demonstration that this person is a pathological liar. And I think that someone like Sir Simon Baron Cohen, I'm afraid, is, and other people at Cambridge that are defending him, is to blame for what has happened. Because let's think about what they've actually done. What they've actually done, in an extremely irresponsible way for people that understand psychology and know a great deal about it, what they've done is they want to find a sort of a savior figure. They want to find a person who can embody a refutation of the ideas of right-wing, as it were, hereditarian, racist academics, as it were, racist academics, right? Based academics, raced realist academics, like Nathan Koffness, who is the person who has demonstrated in detail that Jason Arday's PhD thesis is heavily plagiarized from a Brunel University PhD thesis and from another PhD thesis as well. That's what they want to do. They want to find this proof in order to reassure themselves that they are right, in order to reassure other minorities that they aren't held back by any group differences and they can reach for the stars, in order to reassure themselves that the environmentally determinist utopia can be reached. And they want to find this person and to inspire other people. It's a political thing to inspire other people and themselves that they are right that whatever the studies say, they're rubbish. Look, here is our counterexample. Here is our demonstration that the person with the worst background, who is black, with the right environmental conditions, can do absolutely brilliant things. And so they find somebody who has a wonderful background story, that he's autistic, as I mentioned earlier, and all these other talents as well, that he ran 30 marathons in 35 days when he had an injured leg, that he had a brain tumor when he was doing his PhD, that he had a stroke just before, all of these kinds of unlikely things. And they find this person, and it's such an inspiring story. It's such a wonderful story, almost as if it's too good to be true. And then they put him in this position of power. But what kind of person does he turn out to be? Well, it's fairly clear. He's a narcissist. He's a Walter Mitty. He's a pathological liar. He has mythomania. And I want to look at the psychology of those kinds of people in a minute. But look at the things he said. He's essentially said he could play. He was playing football at a very high level before he could speak. He managed to get GCSEs in various subjects, that's secondary school qualifications, before he could write. He managed to start a BTEC, which is a technical qualification, before he could write. At 18, he only just learned to write, but then by the age of 22, he was looking into doing a master's thesis, and he got a first-class degree. And then he did two master's degrees, and then a PhD, and all of this, and then he goes into academia in various ways, and so on, and it's all turned out to be complete. Lies. He claimed he was sent a pig's head as a racist gesture, and in reality, the butchers that were supposedly involved said they have no memory of it. He said he was on a thing called 7-Up, where children are tracked every 7 years throughout their lives. This started in 1964. He was born in 1985. He said that he was professor of the sociology of education at Glasgow University. And it's come out that that's not true. Glasgow University declared that's nonsense. That's completely made up. He's more than a liar. He's more than a fantasist. He has mythomania. He's a pathological liar. He can't help himself but tell ridiculous lies. He said that he earned millions of pounds for charity. In reality, at best, this was part of a syndicate. He said he did work for a charity abroad, or whatever it turned. The charity denies this is the case. He's a pathological liar. But because of this, you know, what is it that's associated with being a pathological liar? It is, or mythomania. It is that you are high in narcissism, and so you lie in order to get the reassurance of narcissistic supply that you are brilliant, or you have borderline personality disorder, which is often more female than male disorder, which is associated with mood swings, difficulties, emotional control, things like this. And therefore you lie because you fear abandonment, and you sort of victim signal in order to bond with people. These things all kind of co-correlate into what's known as a cluster B personality disorder. People that are high in mythomania are often high in dissociation. They dissociate easily, which means they sort of can zone out of reality easily into fantasy worlds. And this is associated with psychosis, which is in turn associated with schizophrenia. So this is the kind of psychology of a person that lies like this. And if they are a narcissist, then they will be very convincing. They will ooze charisma. They will seem like they're telling the truth to such, and it will be such a wonderful truth that even very intelligent people will be sucked in by it. They will kind of love bomb them and make them feel like $1 million, and they will be sucked in by it, and they will invest in this person psychologically and indeed financially, I'm afraid. It's a trait of psychopathy, lying, conning. And those people are convincing, and you get drawn in by them, and you like them, and then you invest in them, and you want it to be true. And particularly, I think this is the case with leftists. They want it to be true that there's this person who is black and who is from a deprived background, because those are the things that deprivation and being black and being gay or whatever, and is so utterly talented and amazing and has all of these strings to his bow. And so they're prepared to overlook the fact that, like, his doctoral thesis, if you read it, it's just rubbish. It's just word salad, woke nonsense. They're prepared to overlook that, and in order to run with him and get him to this very high position so that they can reassure themselves that such things are possible. But this is a very irresponsible thing to do. And they should know that, because he's obviously, if they, I can't believe a psychologist, an eminent psychologist like Simon Baron Cohen, presumably he's met this guy. I mean, that he surely he could see what he was. Surely he could understand what he was, which was a very damaged person, a person with a personality disorder. And so a person who is telling such ludicrous lies that are obviously lies. All you had to do was check with Glasgow University. It's in his official biography that he worked at Glasgow University. It was put out by the BBC. It's 2 years ago when he was appointed at Cambridge. And no one has questioned it until now. It's in 2026. It's amazing. But they went with it because it was what they wanted to hear. It corroborated their worldview. It seemed to corroborate the what they wish to be true. And so you get this interesting contradiction in Sir Simon Baron Cohen, where on the one hand he says, look, this is a genuine professor at Cambridge and he's brilliant and he's clever. But on the other hand, no, leave him alone, leave him alone. He's my baby. I need to look after him, because on some level he understands that that was his purpose. His purpose was as a kind of a pawn for left woke ideologues within academia to make a particular point about the nature of humanity and the nature of group differences. That is his purpose. So he's a, what can we compare him to? One comparison that I thought of was Joe Biden. You have Joe Biden is a senile old man, already senile by the time he was running against Trump in 2020, but they couldn't find anyone any better. And he seemed to be sort of a little bit just about qualified to do it. And so these people backed him and went with him and promoted him, even though he was obviously completely unfit for the job and not good enough to do the job and was actually senile. And there was a degree to which then this kind of, I think there was a level on which he was probably quite narcissistic anyway, because he was a senior politician. And so then he sort of thought, I'll go with this. I can see an opportunity here. And so then he kind of quite liked it. And then by the time they were wanting him to stand down, he was saying, no, I don't want to stand down. I want to run again, which was ruinous. I meant they didn't have time to put in a proper campaign for a new candidate. And so they had to put in his vice president, Kamala Harris, who was useless. And then, of course, they lost. Well, you probably have a similar thing here. You have a person who is himself narcissistic, mythomania, perhaps a little bit of a borderline, who is thrust into this position, who is promoted, who is told you're great, you're amazing, you're brilliant. And so he realizes there's an opportunity here and I can make it even more of an opportunity by confabulating things about me, make me seem even more brilliant. So it kind of, they're telling him he's a bit brilliant because he's a black guy from a relatively poor background and he's managed to go to university, whatever it was that started this process. And then he starts exaggerating, coming up with more and more stuff, realizing he gets benefits. The more he lies, the more he exaggerates, and people believe him. The more he's promoted, and the more he gets, and he's not intelligent enough to understand that he will be found out. That he goes to his head. He can't, and also he just can't stop himself. I think it's a compulsion. He has a compulsion to lie. So it starts off, it's going well, and then it just magnifies and snowballs and snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. And before long, you have a person of probably about average intelligence who is a compulsive liar, who, with the backing of other powerful and highly intelligent people, finds himself professor at Cambridge. And then, of course, because it's such a prominent position, people like Nathan Coffinus or whatever, or other people start looking into him. He's found not guilty of plagiarism by Liverpool John Moores University, which is a useless university, on his PhD. But then people still know that there's lots of things awry and they keep looking into him because he's got too high. He's got too prominent. If he just stayed a junior academic, he'd have been fine. But that's the problem. He's narcissistic and it's gone to his head and he's being promoted by other people and pushed by other people. And so therefore there's a kind of hubris syndrome where he's told he's brilliant and he starts to think that he's brilliant and he thinks he's brilliant anyway because he's a narcissist, but he's told he's brilliant. And so it kind of gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger until it totally balloons out of all control. And then, of course, people start seriously looking into it and then he's in trouble. Now, you can see that with Joe Biden, similar thing, a pawn at the hands of other intelligent people. Maybe you could even see it with someone like Jordan Peterson. Now, Jordan Peterson, don't get me wrong, is extremely intelligent. He is extremely intelligent, but he was a kind of a pawn in a movement where other people were backing him and then telling him he was brilliant. And so even if he had a kind of latent narcissism, which gave him the bravery to stand up against the trans ideology and all of this sort of stuff, how it started, then he gets these backers, and the backers tell him that he's brilliant, and this inflates his narcissism even further, and then it goes on and it balloons, and eventually it's just too much for him, and he has had a total mental breakdown because he can't cope with it. He'd have been happier just being a normal, very successful at Harvard or whatever academic, but not necessarily this massive public figure that he's become, and he's unable to cope, and he just breaks down. And it's part of the fact that he's more than what he is. He's a pawn pushed by other people. And that's what Jason Arday is. Jason Arday, a similar kind of thing, a guy that's a bit narcissistic. I'm not saying Jordan Peterson's a liar, but in the case of Jason Arday, narcissistic, bit of a borderline, bit of a Walter Mitty, a bit mentally unstable, a pathological liar. And then it starts off that he's promoted a little bit, and then it goes to his head, and he starts lying more, and then he's promoted more, and then you end up with this symbiotic relationship between his intelligent and ideologically motivated and therefore blind backers and himself, until it just explodes out of all control because he gets to such a prominent position, rather like Joe Biden becoming president and it being clear how incompetent he is. So I feel very sorry for Jason Arday, because I think this kind of thing would destroy a psychologically healthy person. This kind of thing would destroy a person that was psychologically normal. But this isn't what we're dealing with. So it's going to be, Simon Bancone is right, this is utterly crushing for him. Utterly crushing for him. But it's people, I'm afraid, like Simon Bancone, and it seems to me, that have brought this situation about. And if they would only put aside their ideological fervour and accept the empirical truth about the way that things are, then this needn't have happened. And this man, this guy that's a Walter Mitty and a fantasist, could just be a PE teacher somewhere, and probably quite a good PE teacher, and tell fibs occasionally and whatever, and people would just say, oh, well, you know, you've got to take what Jason says with a pinch of salt. But he wouldn't be placed in this situation now, where I'm sure he is utterly contemplating the end. So this is the utter irresponsibility of woke academics. Totally irresponsible. I think they should be really, really ashamed of themselves. And it means that how can we have confidence in Cambridge University now after this? How can we have confidence in it? How can we know that the degrees aren't corrupt? How can we have any confidence in it? If anything good comes out of this, it is that we move back to a sensible academia on merit. But I'm not sure the woke people that dominate academia are ready for that yet. Well, I hope this has been of interest. And again, please subscribe and all that on Substack and on here. And I will see you all soon. And goodbye.
Are you ready for the future of the West?